First of all the Torah tonight should be a little nishmas. Binyamin Pinchas ben Raviel Baruch, Binyamin Zwickler. One year ago, we named for the first time the Thursday night shir, Chavura Zichron Binyamin, in the memory of Binyamin Pinchas, a very special Talmud who used to come to shir and used to give us all chizik coming to shir, even in difficult times at times. And this past Shabbos Kodesh was his yahrzeit. Mir Hashem, all the Torah tonight should be in the Shemaso, should be a big schus for his neshama and shemayim. Maybe in the middle of shir we'll talk about him a little bit more. Mir Hashem, he should be a male joysher for each and every one of us, to bring us only simcha and bracha until we're zoicha to be reunited with chesameisim. Shiach sekenu b'mehiru b'yameinu. You open up this week's parasha, Parshas Yisro, the parasha of Kabbalah Satoira. The parasha of Aseret Hadibros. You know, if you look at the very beginning of Torah, Bereishis Bar Elokim, Bereishis, the Baal Turim says the Lord Bereishis, in the very first word of the entire Torah. Bereishis Notrikun, Bereishis is the Notrikun, is the Rashi Tevos. Birishoina Ra Elokim Shikablu Yisrael Torah. Birishoina Ra Elokim Shikablu Yisrael Torah. In the beginning, Hashem saw that we would accept the Torah. Bereishis. It's telling us something. It's telling us that all Torah and all this world was, in a certain sense, Talmud, was dependent on Kabbalah's Torah, which we know Chazal teach us that the whole world was created only having in mind that we'd be mekabel Torah. If not, lachzer osol osol vavo, the whole world would be overturned and turned back to a desolate place like it was originally. Because we were mekabel Torah, we said nasav v'nishma. But the emes is, I always, this week, Parshas Yisro, can't stop thinking about the Gemara and Shabbos Peches. The Gemara and Shabbos Peches that we've quoted so many times at this table. I want to analyze it and discuss it in a little different light tonight. Famous words from this week's parasha, Yitziatzu v'tachta zahar. We were standing literally underneath the mountain. Usually it's translated, we're standing at the foot of the mountain, but it means here, Amar Avdimi Barchama, you all know the Gemara. And through the Gemara, we'll introduce Purim a little bit, Bez Hashem Yitzvarach, Shoshim Yom Koy Demachag. We're all very excited. Amar Avdimi Barchama Barchasa, Rav Avdimi Barchama, the son of Chasa, says, Melamed Shekofa Kadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Etahar Kigigis. From the words Vayitziatzu v'tachtazor, we're standing underneath the mountain. And Besijas Hashem took the mountain and held it on top of us like a gigas, like a beer vat. And said to us, if you're mekabel the Torah, great. If not, here will be your burial. The Gemara goes on, I'm not going to read it right now, but it says, Mikamo dal rabbi l'raisa. We should have a great protest. We were forced to accept the Torah. We shouldn't have to keep the Torah. We shouldn't be held accountable for the Torah. And the Gemara ends, Hoder kablu b'me'ach HaShverosh. But we re-accepted the Torah on our own volition, our own will. Kimu v'kiblu, kimu mashu kiblu kvar. We re-accepted the Torah. But here it seems that we were forced to accept the Torah. We were forced to accept the Torah. What is this Baal Turim that we read? Rishona ra, Shisrael, kablu Torah, Hashem saw. What's the greatness that we accept the Torah? We're forced to accept the Torah. Why is that so great? In fact, the Gemara of Zara daf Beis and Beis. And the Gemara, I don't think I brought it here, but you can look it up. It's at the bottom of the page on Beis and Beis and Avodah Zara, where the Umas Oilam come to the Eivishter, and the Umas Oilam say, "Yeah, it's true. We all know how Hakadosh Baruch Hu Chazal teachers went around to the Umas and after they accept the Torah." And said, what's in it? This other is in it, that's in it, you can't do this, forget it, nobody wanted it, right? But the Umas Oilam came to the Rabbi Yisrael later and said, but Bnei Yisrael, you forced them to accept the Torah. Why didn't you force us to accept the Torah? Meaning they also didn't accept the Torah on their own desires. Kavlam Harkigigis. Why didn't you do that to us? There the Gemara has an answer and explains because he gave them already Shabbos B'Ninoch that they weren't keeping. It proved that they wouldn't keep the Torah even if being forced. But that was the question. We were only forced. They should have been forced. To explain all of this, we have Tosfos. To explain all of it, what it means that we were forced to accept the Torah, which doesn't seem like such a great accomplishment, and to explain how we can answer the Umas Olam, we have Tosfos and Shabbos Peches, the top Tosfos of the page. And Tosfos has a different question. Tosfos says, what did it mean we were forced to accept the Torah? Shekvar hekdimu nasal nishma. Prior to this, we already said we'll keep the Torah. We already said we'll accept the Torah. We already said nasav and ishma. So Tosfos answers, after saying nasav and ishma, we know, shema yichozrim kishiyaru esh agdol shiyatzasa nishmasan. They saw this great fire, I mean they saw the Shekhinah, and they got so afraid, they were shaking in their mamash, in their boots. We are shaking in their boots. Mam is shaking in their boots. And they mamish yatzu nishmasan. They literally mamish yatzu nishmasan. Their nishamas left their body. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu then had to bring about Tchiyas HaMeisim. And Tosfos says that's why they had to have Kafal Magigigas. Basically. Meaning that's what Tosfos is explaining. That we said Nasav and Ishma. But after Nasav and Ishma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu scared us so much that we needed a Kviyah. So that answers, first of all, to the Umas Olam. Umas Olam, the Kvi only came after we accepted our own Ratzon, our own desire. You never did that. That can answer that question. And it also explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did see our desire to keep Torah. And he saw our desire to accept the Torah even without a couple of Hagigis. Because we said Nasav and Ishma. But here's the question. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that to us? Imagine, this was the Lefi Tosfos, what are we saying, Chevra? We're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and wanted us to keep the Torah, wanted us to accept the Torah. We said, Nasav and Ishma, sure, we'd love it. Unlike the other nations. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought basically the Shekhinah in such a powerful way that scared us, that brought a pachad and a moira that mamish yatzu nishmasam, we collapsed on the spot. And he had to bring us back to Chiyas HaMeisim and then force us to accept the Torah. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just leave it? And when we said Nasav Nishma, B'Simcha, and give us the Torah, why do you have to scare us? Why do you have to bring the Pacha, the Moira, and then end up being a Kviya, end up being a forced acceptance? Why did we have all those steps? So comes along the Hilvius Nachmoishe Chevra. And he says as follows, listen closely, Chevra. And a few other Svarim say the same idea. But such an important idea in Kabbalah Satorah. Such an important idea in Avodas Hashem. He says as follows. When we accepted the Torah and said Nasav and Ishma, it was in a state of tremendous inspiration. It was a state of tremendous clarity. Let's remember what was going on. Klal Yisrael at the end of Mitzrayim, for a year they're just seeing Nisim Gluyim day in and day out. Seeing the Ten Makos. Incredible, incredible revelations. Incredible, Mamish, seeing God. You know, you saw Chvestesh Ben Yamin, you saw the Northern Lights. It was Chashev. It was Gevaldik. You told me it was very special, right?
Yeah, 100%.
You see Yad Hashem a little bit, right?
You do.
Imagine you saw Barad. Imagine you saw Barad. You saw a hail of fire in it coming down. Imagine you saw suddenly the Nile River turn to blood. And that, imagine you saw your cup of water, where half of the cup was dam when the mitzvah is drinking from it, and half is my, like crazy things, right? And then Kriyas Yamsuf. And then Kriyas Yamsuf. We can't even imagine what it is. You're standing at a sea, and it completely splits open, and you cross it. And then the mud is falling, and a bear Miriam. Now it's just like miracles after miracles on Ani HaKavod. So that God says here to ear, I have a Torah for you. Mamas, you're in this state of clarity, a state of inspiration, an enlightened place. Of course, you say Nasav and Ishma. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that our acceptance of the Torah, our Kabbalah of the Torah, shouldn't just be at those moments in life. What about the moments in life when things are a little bit dark? What about the moments in life where I'm not so inspired? What about the moments in life where I don't feel God in my life? When I don't see God in my life? What about the moments in life where it's not so clear? What about the moments in life when I wake up one morning and I'm tired and like to just sleep in and not get up to go to Binyan? And not because I don't value Minyan, but I value sleep a little bit this morning. And what about those mornings that we get to our chavrusa that we have, our seder, whatever it is, and I'm like, I'm just not into it. And what about those times in life when we have to deal with serious nisyonos in life? God forbid sicknesses that people have to deal with in their life, and family members, and whoever it might be. God forbid deaths. Lo aleinu, serious issues in parnasa. Lo aleinu, difficulties in shiduchim. What about those times? And then it's hard to see and feel Kadosh Baruch Hu in my life. Am I going to be that same Eved Hashem? Am I going to serve Hashem in the same way in the more difficult times when there are nisyonos in my life? So comes along Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu brought this type of difficulty where He brought this pachad and moira, this ish. And then was kfiyah, was kaifin, was sarachi emirotani. Why? Because you already went through and said nasim nishma in the good times. I want you also to accept even in the difficult times. Even when it feels forced. Even when it feels that I'm only doing it because I have to. You got to do it then as well. True Eved Hashem is through thick and thin. You know? Some bring down the hafla in Ksuvis, and others bring down that the mountain of Har Kegigis was like a chuppah. The mountain Har Kegigis was like a chuppah. We know there are a lot of connections between Kabbalah and Torah and marriage. It was the marriage with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Some of the minhagim we have until today at our chasanas are from from Har Sinai. One of the reasons is a minhag. For example, for parents to be holding candles down the aisle, it's not just to look nice. Because there was what? There was lightning at Har Sinai. You're supposed to represent that. There's something real about that. You know, in our marriages, if I can tell you something, we don't do this, but by the Goyisha marriages, they exchange vows. By the Goyisha marriages, they exchange vows. And I'm sure we've all seen some movie back in the day or whatever. And they say, like, through thick and thin, through chesnish, like, through everything, we're going to stand by each other's sides, right? And we don't exchange vows. That would be problematic, and we're not going to get into that. But every time I have this chus to sit with the chasana and kala, before their chasana, and prepare for the chasana, I tell them that although we don't exchange vows, we're really believing the same thing. When you stand underneath that chuppah with your kala, you're believing you're going to get through anything together. Through the, obviously enjoy the wonderful times together, but even when they're difficult times, you're going to be by each other's side and you're going to get through it together. So if we're standing up to Har Kegigis, that chuppah with the Eibishter, part of that is a representation that when things are great, of course I'm going to be serving Hashem, it's going to be amazing. But when things are a little more difficult, I'm going to be the same Eved Hashem. I'm going to be the same Eved Hashem. And that's why it had to be a kviya. It had to be a Har Kegigis and not just rely on the Nasav and Nishma. You know, Chever, we said tonight, we're saying Shir Le'ilei Nishmas Binyamin Pinchas. Ben Aravi Ol Baruch, Mechashiv HaTalmud, Binyamin Zwickler. Our mamish miss very much. Binyamin mamish lived these words. Binyamin Zwickler was going through chemotherapy, felt like garbage, had hardly anything left, and there were times he literally went straight from the hospital, chemotherapy, straight to Shayashiv to try to put whatever he left into learning. And sometimes he couldn't even learn, so he just read some Tehillim at least. Straight from the hospital often. He had every excuse in the world to go home and lay down and not go to yeshiva. And most people would have. But he understood, it's not just a Kabbalah Satorah of Nasim and Ishma. It's a Kabbalah Satorah of in the good times and in the difficult times, I'm with Hashem. Binyamin Zwickler, the last few weeks when he was in the hospital, and would go every day in Mamish, there were difficult times. There were days where he could hardly speak, and days when he was very, very weak. The way, and he couldn't, at that point in his life, he couldn't be learning. We talk a little Torah, we discuss Torah, still remember until today, being him a few Thursdays and discussing with him Thursday night shiur and talking it over with him before I gave it here, and he helped me prepare it. But obviously it wasn't a time where he could sit with the Sefer, sit with the Gemara. But you know what he decided he's going to take? He's still going to do the most he could for the Hebishter and for this world during those days. And what he did, he just, any person, you walk into a hospital room, obviously sometimes that's uncomfortable, you don't feel good about it, you don't know how to handle it. Anyone who walked in, he made feel like $1 million. Even times when he could hardly speak, so the people he was close to understood that, and it would be okay, wouldn't be speaking. Someone would walk in who he wasn't so close to, he'd mamish go out of his way to mamish to be talking to him and asking him things, and things that he wasn't, nobody's really interested in, but just to make them feel good. Incredible! Incredible Mesiras Nefesh! Incredible Mesiras Nefesh in difficult times! Koyfin Oysoach Yemeroitzani. This is Avoidah. Our Avoidah is no matter where we are, no matter what stage of life, we're that same Eved Hashem, consistency. You know, last week was Parshat Peshalach, and you had Kriyas Yamsuf. One of my favorite Torahs from the Noam Elimelech, I think is exactly this point. The Rebbe of Melech of Lejansk. This Torah is found all the way at the end, if you want to look it up. It's in the end of the Sefer Noam Elimelech, in the Likutei Shoshana, in the very end of the Likutei Shoshana. It's probably one of his final pieces in the entire Sefer. And he says on the words, Holchu b'yabasha b'soy chayam. Holchu b'yabasha, what's Pasha Pshat Holchu b'yabasha b'soy chayam? Klal Yisrael, they were walking b'yabasha in the dry land, b'soy chayam, which is in the middle of the water. But we know when they were at that point, they had this tremendous revelation of the Rabbonu Shalom. Even of Shivcha Bayam, even a maidservant had Navu on the highest of levels. We could imagine, obviously, you're walking through the water, God's got to be by my side. There's no other explanation, right? So Noam HaMelech says, that's when it's easy. That's Nasa V'Nishma. But the void is Hochul Bayabasha. When you get onto the dry land, when you're walking on the dry land, when it's not so clear anymore, when you're not necessarily seeing it, Hochul Bayabasha, it should be B'Soch Hayam. It should be as if you're still Besoch Bayam. You should serve Hashem in the same way. That's someone who's a tzaddik. Someone who understands not just Natsav Nishma, but Koyfin Otsoachi Yemerotzani. It's all one and the same. And we have to be that Eved Hashem. Now, if you open up the parasha and Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Gimel, the Pasuk says as follows. This is all the psukim that are the introductions. Preparing for Kabbalah, Torah, for the Aseret HaDibros. So the pasuk is Moshe Allah El Elokim. Moshe went up to Hashem, get the luchos. Vayikra Elav Hashem in Ahar. Hashem called him from the mountain Lamar. Ko soimer leveis Yaakov, v'sagid levnei Yisrael. So you should say leveis Yaakov, and you should tell bnei Yisrael. And he says very beautiful words. A lot of these next few psukim were returned into beautiful songs. V'atoyim shemo tishmu b'koli. U'shmar temes b'risi v'yisim li segula mikol amim. Right, we know, Simcha Liner is a beautiful song to those words. V'atem tiyuli melachas koinim v'goy kodesh. Beautiful words of what Hashem wants from us and what we're going to be to Him. Very beautiful psukim. How kodesh it is to be a yid. How chashiv it is to be a yid. But he introduces that with ko somar leveis Yaakov v'sagid levnei Yisrael. Chevre, you have a question on that line? Isn't that like completely repetitive and redundant? Tomar lebeis Yaakov v'tagid lebeis bnei Yisrael. You should say it to Beis Yaakov and tell it to bnei Yisrael. Like, what is there anything? Is it again? It's two separate words, but is there a difference between saying and telling? Is there a difference between Beis Yaakov and bnei Yisrael? Like, we're talking about the same people here, seemingly. Why say it twice? Tomar lebeis Yaakov v'tagid lebnei Yisrael. What's going on? So, Rechaim HaKadosh asked this question. It's a long Archaim there. You can read it inside if you'd like. And others as well. Listen to what the Archaim HaKadosh says. The Archaim HaKadosh says there's two ways we could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Ahava, and we could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yira. We could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through love, and we could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through awe. Now we know ultimately the higher level is Ahava. The Beferish Gemara and Saita, Daf Lamed Aleph. Gemara and Saita, Daf Lamed Aleph, tells us The Tanya of Shimon ben Lazar Omer, Gada Oisa Me'ava Yosem and Oisa Me'ira, Shezet Toilei La'elof Dar, Shezet Toilei La'alofim Dar. Based on Pesukim, La'alofim La'ive L'shoimre. But L'shoimre Yisrael La'elof Dar. If you do a mitzvah of Ava, it's for 2,000 generations. You do a mitzvah of Yira, it's for 1,000 generations. First of all, it's a chus of a mitzvah, even for 1,000 generations. But you see, Ava is a higher level than Yira. To do a mitzvah out of love is higher than out of awe, out of fear. But the truth is, there's milas and chasronos to each. If you do a mitzvah out of love, so that's beautiful, and that's obviously a higher level, and there's going to be a lot of eslavas, there's going to be a lot of passion, there's going to be a lot of excitement. Aber what? You could sometimes pick and choose. If you're excited and you're in love, you're going to do it. If it's a moment where you're not so excited, you're not so in love, you're not so inspired, you're a little down, I'm not going to do it. Also, when it's all out of love, you could cut the corners a little bit. You know, let's say you love somebody very much, you have a very close relationship with them. So sometimes those other people, obviously you love them and you're nice to them overall, but you also sometimes are not as nice as you should be to them. Because you know they'll cut you slack. You know that no matter what, the relationship's going to be there, right? So the Rabboni Shalom, you could say, you can wake up one morning and say, I love the Rabboni Shalom, we have such a close relationship, he'll be okay with me missing Minyan this morning. If you weren't so close, then I have to get to Minyan, right? So sometimes love could open up a certain box which allows you not to be as serious as an Eved Hashem. Even though when you use the love, it could be on a very high passionate level. So we have to balance that Ava with Yira. When you have Yira, it's through thick and thin. Through awe, I'm never going to not do it. That's why it is that we know in Parshas Ekev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Moshe Melkecha Sholomach Kiyim Liyira. What is Hashem asking you but to fear God? Akol B'dei Shemayim Chutz Miyira Shemayim. That we need Yira, we need awe, we need this fear. So our Avodas Hashem is consistent, it's constant. It's unwavering. Nasiv and Ishmael is Ava, Kabbalah Magigigas is Yira. That's why it is, by the way. If you take the gematria of Ma Kofolayim Harkigigas, what do we learn from Kofolayim Harkigigas? With the Koil of 957, is gematria Tzarech Yiras Hashem. We need Yiras Hashem. There's not enough to say Ava. We need that coupled with and synthesized with Yerushalayim, which has to be the foundation. We have to have Yerushalayim that shows my consistency no matter what, and then I'll have the Ava, which is the higher level, because Yerushalayim by itself also is lacking sometimes the emotion, is lacking the passion, is lacking the excitement. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that at Rahman Aliba Boy. So we want to reach for the higher level of Ava, but only if we initially have the Yira. And that's the synthesis of Kabbalah Merkigigas, together with Nasa Vinishma. That's what Avodas Hashem ultimately has to be for each and every one of us. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, listen to this. The introduction to Klal Yisrael, to the Aseret Dibros, and to all these beautiful psukim about our relationship with Hashem is going to be, is Koisoymer Lebeis Yaakov Asagid Levnei Yisrael. So we know that Yaakov and Yisrael are two names of Yaakov Avinu. But Yaakov is his lower name. Yaakov is his lower name. Yaakov is his, Akev was his first name. His heel means, and then he earned the name Yisrael, which is the higher name. We've discussed this in the past. Many Sfarim, many Tzaddikim say this. Amira is Lashon Raka, is soft, is loving, as we all know, right? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, Kosomer Leveis Yaakov. When you have Beis Yaakov, when a person's on the lower level, meaning what? Who's the lower Yid? He only has Yira. He has Yira, Baruch Hashem, which is amazing. That's the foundation. But he hasn't reached the highest of levels. Koisoymer, you should couple it and bring in the Amira, the Raka, the Ava. Teach him that he also needs to have the Ava. That he should synthesize the Ava into the Yira. The Sagit, to tell him, is the Lashon of Kasha, a little more, is Yira. Because the Medrash says Sagit is from the Gedidim, which are the sinners, which are very strong. V'sagid l'vnei Yisrael. V'nei Yisrael is that higher. Those are in that higher level of Ava. Teach them that they have to have the Yira. Teach them that they have to have kisagid l'vnei Yisrael. Meaning what? The whole Avoida of Kosarim l'vnei Yaakov v'sagid l'vnei Yisrael is to synthesize the Ava and the Yira. is to tell us that our avoid and avoid is Hashem, is to try to have both. Try to be a Yid who's living in a life of Kabbalah Torah and Asav Neshama, as well as a life of Kabbalah Torah of Kafal Hagigis. Is to understand that Halavai, it should be Halavai, it should be that we're excited to learn and we're putting Kavonas and passion into our Tefillah, into our Limud Torah, but at times when it's difficult, and times when we feel far from the Rabbanu Shalom, feel far from the Torah, it's unwavering. This Yir Shemayim. It happens to be also, I mean, similar to the first Gematria, but if you take the Gematria, Har Kigigis is 651, Bizeh Yir Shemayim. It's exactly Gematria, Bizeh, with this is Yir Shemayim. That's the Yir Shemayim that we need. That should be synthesized to the Ahavas Hashem that we already have. I was reading this story earlier in the week. You know, we had, in the previous generation in Russia, the Refuseniks. The Refuseniks were these Heilige Yidden. Maybe some of you have read about and know, I mean, of Natan Sharansky was one of the most famous Refuseniks. They were thrown into jail because they were Oyev Hashem, because they were wonderful people. And had tremendous Mesiris Nefesh for that. And another one of the Refuseniks who came out with a book, who was, some of the Chevra might have heard of, Yosef Mendelovich. Yosef Mendelovich is a very big tzaddik, an amazing person. He came once and spoke in DRS. I wasn't zoicha to be there. We were on the senior trip. You might have been there. It was the beginning of June. I was on senior trips. So I didn't get as close to hear him. But Akhmetsky told me how he told over how when he was in jail in Russia, they wanted him to take off his yarmulke, and he wouldn't take off his yarmulke. And even in the jail, they had visitation rights to his father. They told him, if you don't take off your yarmulke, you're not going to have visitors. I think it was for 7 years. Yeah. 7 years, was that what it was? Some long time. 7 years, he didn't see his father to be Oyser Nefesh to wear a yarmulke. He wouldn't take off his yarmulke, right? Is that what it was? I think so. Longer than that? Maybe longer than that. I don't know, but whatever it was. Mom was just tzaddik, was Oyser Nefesh for Torah in jail. And they would throw him into solitary confinement and do crazy things with him to try to pressure him. So he was telling over once, Yosef Mendelovich, he was once speaking, and he was telling over once how he was Chanukah once in the jails in Russia, and he was in solitary confinement. And he knew, he kept a calculation in his head of the calendar, and he knew his Chanukah was coming up. And the week before Chanukah, he so deeply wanted to prepare to somehow have a menorah. Now he's in a jail in Russia. The persecution was crazy. How's he going to light menorah? What's he going to do? So somehow he was able to secure to get a match. One of the guards, he got the guard to give him a match. Okay, so now he had hopefully a source of fire. So then he was able to take off his prison uniform, take a little out to make a wick. So he had a wick. But what about oil? Where's he going to get oil to burn? And he tried, and he tried, and he was cheshbening and trying to figure it out. Chanukah comes the first night, to no avail. He had no oil. So what did he do? You know what he did? He, earlier in that day, in the wall of his jail cell, in the solitary confinement room that he was in, he etched in, I don't know what he used exactly, he etched in into the wall like the design of a menorah. That he should have in the room, this menorah. That was his menorah. Imagine. Listen to this. That was his menorah. And again, he didn't have any oil. But he had this wick that he made out of his clothing. And he put the wick in the spot where the first candle would be, in the wall. And he took the match that he had, and he struck it against the stone wall. And he was able to came, made a fire. And he lit the wick. And it lasted maybe a few seconds. And that was his Chanukah Licht. But those few seconds on the wall, in that menorah, that makeshift menorah in the wall for him, he was talking and telling over. It was such chizik, it was such inspiration. It was so much what he was living in the darkest of hours, that little light that he had. And he ultimately won. And he was telling this over. He was telling this over somewhere, and afterwards a girl came over to him. And the girl asked him, Rabbi Yosef, I have to understand, how is it possible, in such difficult of circumstances, in such treacherous, such mamish times, no one could comprehend what he was going through. And you still were being moiser nefesh, you still were sacrificing, you still were putting in such effort to keep Torah mitzvot. You know that God would have said, you know, onis drachmana patre, like, you're completely potter at the time. What gave you the fortitude? What gave you the will? What gave you the strength? What gave you that ability to still be looking to serve Hashem and put in all the effort? And you know what he answered her back? Listen to this line. I think it's Meirdek. He said back to this girl, can you tell a tree not to grow? He said, can you tell a tree not to grow? You can't stop a tree from growing. The tree is going to grow. That's what it does. So you know what he's saying? As an Eved Hashem, as a Jew, you know what we do? We do Torah mitzvahs. That's who we are. That's our makeup. To serve Hashem, to learn Torah, to daven, to get as close as possible to the Rebbeinu Shalom. In the best of times or in the worst of times. That's who I am. And not only who I am. We're growing through it. Can you tell a tree not to grow? You can't tell a yid not to be a Ben Torah. You can't tell a yid not to be an Eved Hashem. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. It doesn't matter what Hashem throws our way. We take it on and we say, okay, this is our challenge. That's what David Shalom wants me to be, Matzliach in this. That's our Avodah. Through thick and thin. Kafum Hagigigis. Can you tell a Jew not to grow? You know, Chevra, today was Thursday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parashas Yisro now. That means we also are entering into the final week of Shoivavim. We're entering into the final week of Shoivavim. The final week of this special time of tshuva, the special time to work on ourselves and to grow, specifically in the areas of Shemir Sinayim and Shemir Sabris. And a few weeks ago we spoke about this. I'm not going to go into it at length now. But you know, those are areas to work on our Shemir Shanayim, to work on our Taivas. Sometimes, for some of us, those are the most difficult of areas. Sometimes it's easy to, listen, to learn Torah, it's geschmack. To daven and feel close to Hashem, okay, sometimes that's hard because it comes a little rote, but ultimately I know it's important, I'm going to try. Shabbos Kodesh, you have to tell a Yid and push a Yid. You know, I'll tell you, Kafel Magigas couldn't be on Shabbos. Everything, Shabbos, who? You need a kviya? Okay, all you have to do is get a job and go to work or be in some serious schooling. I don't mean like what a lot of us did. I'm saying you go to dental school like this guy. Like Shabbos Kodesh, it's like, there's nothing more chashuv in the world. It becomes for sure your favorite mitzvah if it wasn't already. Okay? There's certain areas that are natural to us, and then there's certain areas that are very difficult. And the areas of shoivavim are sometimes, for some of us, very difficult. There's a lot of taiva, there's a lot of pull. And sometimes we feel like, I can't do it, and we're misyayish lo aleinu. Just like we're saying tonight, there was an asav in Ishma dikka kabbal satayran, and a kabbalim karkigigas dikka kabbal satayran, a kabbal of ava, and a kabbal from yira. That means I have to tell myself that I was willing to stand by our Sinai and accept the Torah in the best of times, in the most difficult times. And that means I was makabel kol haTorah kula, every area of Torah as well. That means the areas that are sweeter to me, the areas that are more nasa nishma to me, and the areas that are a little bit more kafel margiyis to me. But they're one and the same. It's one Torah. There's an achdus in that. There's a oneness in that. And a true Eved Hashem understands that. And a true Eved Hashem understands that each and every one of us needs to keep kol haTorah kula, no matter what the situation, no matter where we are. Chevra, we're going to stand Bezal Hashem Yisbarach Shabbos Kodesh again. It's an amazing opportunity. I want to tell you something. And if we should all just close our eyes and listen well. When you have Parshas Yisro, it's Parsh of Kabbalah Zatorah. We have the opportunity to stand and relive Kabbalah Zatorah. We stand there, we hear Anoich Hashem L'Kevchem V'du Bal Koyre. It's one of those places we stand up for the Aliyah. Which is, by the way, proper minhag is to stand for the entire Aliyah. Those, some of us stand for laning. That's a discussion in the Poskim HaMagid. There's definitely reason to stand for laning. There are definitely those who hold by to not stand by laning. But the Hasidim, they don't stand by laning mostly. But for these portions, minhag Yisrael is to stand up. And stand up, by the way, for the entire Aliyah, not just for Aseret HaDibros. because otherwise you don't want to show the other psukim that they're not chashiv. We're going to stand up, but what is that standing up? It's not just to show the chashivas. It's because we have to close our eyes and picture that I'm again by Har Sinai. And it's not an opportunity for a Kabbalah Satayra. Enough opportunity to say, okay, maybe I haven't been giving my all entire. I'm going to be makabel ba'ava ubayira. I'm going to go through both. I'm going to go through the kfi. I'm going to go through the kabbalah of nasavid ishma and the kabbalah of kafan ardigas. I'm going to be makabel both. In the best of times, and the more difficult of times, to give over myself to the Eibishter, and then I'll feel the chayrus of the Torah. I'll take chayrus or the chayrus. And then I'll be zoiche for the next stage, because ultimately these are stages of geula this time of the year. And the first stage of geula was Yetzias Mitzrayim, leaving the actual physical galus, and not being bound by our taivas and bound by a physical persecution. And then we're free, but we're not fully free, because then we have a spiritual galus. Because without a Torah, I don't even know what to do with myself. So then we go through Kabbalah's Torah this week, and suddenly I have a ruchniistic geula. And I'm ready to serve Hashem. But we're still lacking a little bit. Because we're not in the best of places to do it. And we're still in the midbar. Until finally we enter Eretz Yisrael and we have it all. We have Torah, we have Geula, we have Makom, Kedusha, we have Beis HaMikdash. Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zoicha. That this Shabbos will re-accept the Torah, Ba'avo, Be'ira, Be'nasa V'dishvo, Kviya, and go through that next stage of Geula. And through the schus of a true Kabbalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be zoicha to take us to the final step of Geula with Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu.